The makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh, present the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and your host, Don Ameche.
Yes, this is the Chase and Sanborn Hour, and this is Don Ameche bringing the hearty greetings of our entire company to you and to our special guest for the evening, one of the screen's most glamorous personalities, Marlena Dietrich.
Yo, Mr. Ameche.
Yeah, what is it, Charlie?
Did you tell Miss Dietrich I was asking for her?
Yes, I did.
Ooh, what did she say about me?
Well, to tell you the truth, Charlie, she said nothing.
Nothing?
Nothing.
Oh, that's what they all say about me. I leave them speechless.
Yeah, Charlie, I guess that explanation will have to do for now while I carry on with welcomes from Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy L'Amour, the Stroud twins, Robert Armbruster, and our young newcomer, John Carter.
Oh, Johnny Carter. He's a bit all right, isn't he, Mr.
Oh,
Meachie?
Charlie, he certainly is. Remember the grand duet he sang with Nelson Eddy last week?
Yeah, that was marvelous. Simply marvelous. You know, Mr. Meachie, I'd like to sing a duet sometime.
Well, why don't you?
Say, Bergen, why don't we ever sing a duet, huh?
Why, Charlie, that's impossible.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, that's right, yeah. I keep forgetting. Sometimes, you know, sometimes I think I'm actually talking. Isn't it silly?
Well, Charlie, while you and Edgar go into conference and figure out how it can be done and why not, Dorothy and I will try to set a shining example and sing a duet for you. The song is a little novelty, stepping up fast into the hit class. Keep a stiff upper lip. Hip, hip, Charlie, old chappy. Chitty, old Dorothy, old dear. And carry on, Robert, old bean.
Stiff upper lip, stout fella. Carry on, old stout. Chin up, keep muddling through. Stiff upper lip, stout fella. When the going's rough, hip, hip to old man trouble and a toodaloo-too. Carry on through thick and thin. If you feel you're in the right, does the fighting spirit win? Quite, 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 quite. Stiff upper lip, stout fella. When you're in a stew, sober or blotto, this is your motto. Keep muddling through.
I'll say, old chappy.
Do tell.
Stiff upper lip, stout fella. Carry on, old bean.
I'll try.
Chin up. Keep muddling through.
What should I do?
Stiff upper lip.
Well, well.
Stout fella. Dash it all, I mean. Hip, hip to all man trouble and a toodaloo too. When a bounder starts to hit,
yes, yes.
You must give him blow for blow.
No, no.
Make the blighter say, what's this?
What's this?
Quite, 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 quite. Stiff upper lip.
Bravo.
Stout fella. When you're in a stew, sober or blotto, this is your motto. Keep muddling through.
Stiff upper lip,
stout fella.
Carry on, old stout.
Chin up, keep muddling through.
Stiff upper lip,
stout fella.
When the going's rough,
hip hip to old man trouble and a toodaloo too.
Carry on through thick and thin. If you feel you're in the right,
does the fighting spirit win?
Quite, 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 quite. Stiff upper lip,
stout fella.
When you're in a stew, sober or blotto, this is your motto. Keep muddling through.
Oh, that was a grand song. Don't you think so, Charlie?
Oh, it was, yes. It was quick, quick, quick. Hello, hello, hello. Woo. Socrates liked it too, you know.
Socrates?
Yes.
And who is Socrates?
Oh, don't you know who Socrates is?
No.
Well, he's my dog.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, I got him right here in my coat, Bergen.
Oh, you have?
Yeah, see him?
Yeah. Now, Charlie. He's a cute puppy, but I've told you a number of times that we're not going to have any dogs at our house.
No?
No. Where did you get this puppy?
Well, I bought him in the pet shop.
Oh, you did?
Yeah. Mm.
And where did you get the money?
Well,
I say, where did you get the money?
Well, right down, you know, on the corner there's a pet shop.
Yes, I know.
That's where he comes from.
Yes, but where did you get the money?
Oh, that's right, yeah. Well, I didn't exactly buy him.
Oh, I see.
The man gave him to me.
Oh, he gave him to you?
Yes.
I see. The man is in business to sell dogs.
Yes, that's right.
So he gave you a dog?
Yes.
I see. I don't believe that.
You don't believe that?
No.
You haven't been talking to him, have you?
No.
He gave me the dog.
He, all right.
I think I can get away with it.
All right. Charlie, did you steal the puppy?
Well, I was...
Did you steal the puppy?
No. I was just walking past the door and he happened to follow me.
Oh, my. The dog followed you?
Yes, he did. So help me, he did.
I see. Mm-hmm.
And why? I don't know.
Mm-hmm. I see.
I don't know. I just had a little string, you know, dragging behind me, and he followed me.
You didn't happen to have the other end of that string tied around his neck?
No, but that's a good idea, though. No, it was just a string, that's all, and a dog followed me.
That's ridiculous. I don't think a dog would follow a string.
No?
No.
It will if you got a Frankfurter tied on the end of it. Use a little bait, you know.
Yes, yes. Well, young man, You'd better lead that dog right back to the pet shop.
Yeah, no, I'm all out of Frankfurters.
Never mind about that.
He only costs $2, Bergen. Why don't you buy him for me?
Now, Charlie, what kind of a pup is he?
Oh, he's just a dog.
Just a dog.
Yeah.
Yes, well, I know, but is he a terrier, a pointer, or a setter?
He's a sniffer.
Charlie, I'm sorry, but our lease doesn't permit us to keep dogs.
No?
No.
Well, I'll get a real nice doghouse, see? And we can hide him in there.
Hide him in the doghouse?
Yeah.
Yes. Then they'll know we have a dog.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, that's right. Well, I know what I'll do. I'll fool them.
Yes.
I'll put up a sign on the doghouse. Beware of the pigeons.
Pigeons in a doghouse.
No,
that won't fool anybody. No. You better put up a sign, a dog for sale.
Oh, you can't do that to Socrates, Bergen. We gotta keep him here.
No, let me look at him.
Yes.
Well, he looks like a pointer.
Yeah?
Yes.
Oh, he's too polite to point.
A pointer. A pointer is supposed to point.
Oh, is he?
Yeah.
Well, then he'll point. Go ahead, point, Socrates.
I don't think he can point. A pointer should have a straight tail.
Well, can he help it if his tail is warped a little? Bergen, I gotta have a dog. Skinny Dugan has one.
Oh, Skinny has one.
Yeah.
Keeping up with the Dugans.
Yeah.
What kind of a dog have they?
Oh, he's one of those low dogs, you know, with a long chassis.
Oh, you mean a dachshund?
Dachshund.
Yes.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, yeah. The whole family can pet him at the same time.
Yeah. That's all very well and good, but it has nothing to do with Socrates.
No.
No, Charlie, we just have to give him back.
Bergen, you can't be so hard-hearted. I'll pay for the dog if you'll increase my allowance to $1 a week.
$1 a week?
Yes. Yeah.
So now you want me to increase your allowance. 50 cents isn't enough.
No.
I see.
You must remember there are two of us now.
Nothing to it.
You don't want me to grow up to hate you, do you, Bergen?
No. I'm sorry, Charlie. I can't let you keep the dog, and I can't increase your allowance.
Haven't you ever been in love?
Oh, hello, Charlie, my friend. This is sure making me feel happy to see you again sometime.
Yeah, hello, Mr. Gazzolo. Long time no see.
Hey, what's the matter with you today? Bergen to fight with you again?
Yeah, I got a puppy, and Bergen won't let me keep him.
What's the matter with you, Bergen? All of the time you pick on my friend, Charlie. His puppy is good for the little boy, I know. I'm in the dog business myself.
Yeah, see? You're in the dog business, Gazzolo?
That's right. I gave up on my hot dog stand, and now I'm a fixer sick of puppies.
Oh.
Oh, you're a veterinarian.
That's me, vegetarian.
Yeah, I see.
Anytime you want to know what's the matter with your dog, just to push him up to my place, I'll fix him up. Look, Bergen, why don't you let him keep this puppy?
Well, in the first place, Charlie wants me to pay for the dog, and in the second place, he wants me to increase his allowance.
Yeah, and in the third place, he should get it the first place and the second place.
That's telling him, Gazzolo, that's telling him.
Yeah. Hey, look, Charlie. How much is this guy Bergen to give you now?
A measly 50 cents a week, that's all.
Oh, that's too little, Bergen. You gotta give me this poor kid more. You can't treat my friend this way. I'm gonna report you to the Society for the Convention of Cruel Animals.
Now, wait a minute, Gazzola. Let's get this straight. What are you, a veterinarian or a lawyer?
That's me. Shut up. I'm a lawyer, too.
Oh, so you're a barrister.
That's right. The vegetarian and a banister.
Oh.
You wanna make something out of this? You wanna get the fresh at the Charlie? I serve you with the summit. I take out an affidavit, I slap you in the face with some peanuts.
Oh.
Yeah, give him a little habeas corpus, too.
Are you trying to intimidate me?
No, Mr. Bergen, I'm appealing to your finer side, if you got one. To your generosity.
Oh, I see.
Bergen, what is life without a dog?
Oh, that's it.
When you're sitting by the fire, and you're feeling very tired, and your mind's in meditation, in a fog, though you may be by your ownsome, still you won't feel very lonesome, 'cause sitting there to cheer you is my dog. Although you may be a miser, you'd be wealthier and wiser if you didn't let my pup sleep on a log. And your tiny contribution will improve his constitution. So I pray you, I beseech you, help my dog.
Your pleading and your logic, I must say, is quite immense. But your 50 cents allowance has now been cut to 30 cents.
You dog. What's that? My dog.
Yes.
That's not poetry, that's robbery.
That dog bit me. Oh, he knows a burglar when he sees one.
Well, don't you worry, Charlie. We're going to fix that guy Bergen, and we're going to fix him good, too. But all these diabolical schemes will have to wait because we want you to meet a newcomer in our midst, John Carter.
He certainly has a lovely voice, Don, but he seems to use it all for singing. I can't get him to talk.
Oh, you can't talk to him, eh? Well, we'll fix that in a hurry. We'll give him the third degree. Hey, John, front and center.
Sure, Don. What's up?
You are. Now, look, where were you born?
Brooklyn.
Well, you've got him born anyway, Don. Where'd you go to school, Johnny?
Brooklyn.
Yeah, where'd you learn to sing?
Brooklyn.
Ask him anything.
Thanks, Claude. But, John, didn't you even go across to study?
Across? The bridge?
He must have been to France, Don. I heard him speaking French the other day.
Oh, is that true, John? Come on, now, come clean.
Mais oui, je parle français. C'est une belle langue, n'est-ce pas?
Oui, well, where did you learn to speak French like that?
Brooklyn.
Any other languages, Johnny?
Well, I had to know German and Italian to sing in those languages. Ich kann sehr gut durchsprechen. Or, parlo anche l'italiano.
Oh, say, he's quite a linguist, eh, Dorothy?
I should say so. And he learned all of them
in Brooklyn. Yeah. Well, of course, Brooklyn's a swell place, but we ever want to get out of it, we better make John sing. His song is a salute to our lovely guest, Marlene Dietrich, because it bears the title of one of her most successful pictures. John Carter singing The Song of Songs.
Recall that night in June when first we met. Do you remember, love, the words we spoke? Have you forgotten all the tender vows we made in the silent, magical moonbeam's light? Another golden dream with a summer roses and all our tenderest vows were made but to be broken. Song of song, song and a broken melody of love and life, never more for me than that melody, fill the heart with a joy once it knew. Delight that faded at dawn. of bliss. When you were my own world, of
everyone who likes Charlie McCarthy.
Through a special new arrangement, you now have until February 28th to get a big action likeness of Charlie McCarthy. Don't miss this wonderful extra opportunity. Charlie is in full color, rosy-cheeked and red-headed. Charlie's made of strong cardboard, printed to show him in his dress suit, his shiny silk hat, his monocle, and a mammoth shirt stud with a yellow daisy in his hand. He's over 20 inches tall, his legs bend so he sits right on your lap. You can move his eyes and mouth and have hours of fun pretending to make him talk. And here's how you get Charlie without cost. On or before February 28th, mail us four bag fronts showing the date from 4 1-pound bags of Chasen Sanborn dated coffee, the superb blend you know is fresh. Remember, dated coffee is rushed to grocers straight from roasting with a delivery date clearly marked on the money-saving dated bag. And this date guarantees the freshness of dated coffee. Safeguards you from the bitter, rancid taste of stale coffee and the harmful effect it may have on your nerves and digestion. So enjoy Chasen Sanborn dated coffee. Mail us four bag fronts by February 28th, and we'll send you free the big, full-color action likeness of Charlie McCarthy. Here's our address. Chasen Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue. That's 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Now, don't miss this chance. Get Charlie free. Buy a pound of Chasen Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
If there's any word Hollywood likes to use as much as colossal and stupendous, it's that much-abused little adjective, glamorous. But from a first appearance on the screens of America in Blue Angel, the name Marlene Dietrich has been truly synonymous with glamour. She's come to occupy a unique place in the Hollywood sun that no one has been able to usurp or even to share. For us, she lends her particular charms to the character of Lili Sándor, the idol of the Hungarian stage in Fedor Laszlo's gay continental comedy, I Love an Actress.
I Love an Actress, with Marlene Dietrich as Lili Sándor, the most beautiful actress in Budapest, and Don Ameche as George Verratti, young man about town who has fallen in love with her.
For 3 months, everywhere she has gone, George has followed, but she has never given him an opportunity to speak to her. At last, in desperation, George rings the bell of her apartment one spring evening and insists on entering, although Lily's secretary, Caroline, tries her best to keep him up.
I'm sorry, but I can't let you in.
I'm sorry, but I am in.
But I have strict orders to keep you out from Miss Lily Sandor herself.
Oh, thank heaven at last she has paid attention to me. Now I shall see her.
But you are wrong, my friend. Miss Sandor is entertaining an important guest, Paul Strauss, the great banker. And besides, she's given us orders to throw you out if you come here.
Who is it, Caroline?
Oh, Lily, I've been arguing with him, but he will insist.
This is really too much. I will finally settle this young gentleman. Go along, Caroline.
Yes, Lily.
Now, young man, what does this mean?
I love you.
You're always following me. In the theater, in restaurants, at the races. Everywhere I go, I see you staring at me.
I love you.
Tonight, you break into my apartment.
I love you.
Who are you?
A tuxedo.
A what?
I'm a tuxedo from the audience. Tuxedo that cannot bear to have the curtain fall at 11 o'clock every night and rob me of you. For 157 nights, I have suffered while you threw yourself into the arms of another man, and now it's enough.
What is enough?
A poor tuxedo couldn't stand all this, even if it were made of the finest material by the best tailor. So I am here. I can't help it. I am in love with an actress.
You love me so much?
Oh, yes.
Then get out of here. I give you 60 seconds to leave.
Oh, thanks, but I'm not going.
Where did you get this terrible determination?
Oh, this is not determination. This is just starting speed.
It is what?
It's starting speed, the secret of life and motion. I've had to follow you for months, finally break into your house to get to you. All this can't go without starting speed.
You talk like an engineer.
Oh, you've guessed it. I know all about the effect of force and the resisting qualities of matter. Even steel crumbles eventually. You too will have to give in. It's mathematics, darling, mathematics.
Mathematics or no mathematics, you will please leave my house instantly.
Oh, gladly, because now I've said what I wanted to say. Goodbye, darling.
Well, why don't you go? I give you 10 seconds. 1, 2. Oh, go.
Oh, I'm already gone. Thank you, darling, because you're going to love me, because you're going to be mine.
Lily, where are you?
Come in, Paul.
What's keeping you, Lily?
Oh, an old friend dropped in.
Perhaps you've heard Lily speak of me, sir. George Verratti.
And this is another old friend, Georgie. Paul Strauss, the famous banker.
How do you do, Verratti?
Delighted.
And what is your mother doing, Georgie? Is she well?
Oh, yes, yes, thank heaven.
Oh, do give her my love, and I'm so glad you stopped in.
Don't let me drive you away, Verratti.
Oh, no, not at all, but I was just about to go. So again, I shall say good night, Lily.
Good night.
Good night, sir.
Good night. Lily, who is that boy?
Georgie? Oh, a very dear old friend. We used to be playmates.
So, well, I see that this young man is going to be troublesome to me.
You consider him a rival? Why, Paul, the boy's beginning to interest me.
That's one more reason for me to settle him. Lily, I have something important to say to you.
Sit down, Paul. Here's a cigarette. Have you matches?
I have 3 match factories in this country and and never a box in my pocket.
Here's a light. I suppose every match makes money for you.
Every one. Your cheese at dinner makes me money. And your butter, too. I'm the wire that runs through the apartment, the electric globe which sheds light on your lovely face, and the wood for the floors on which you walk.
You make money on all these things?
On every one of them. Listen, Lily.
Yes, Paul?
I'm in love with you.
You in love?
Fatally. Will you marry me, Lily?
Why, Paul, this is the biggest surprise.
To me, too. I only realized tonight how much you mean to me. Think carefully, Lily. 2 wonderful careers, the greatest banker and the greatest actress.
The wife of Paul Strauss. Doesn't sound bad. But I can't answer you now.
Why not, Lily?
Because for 6 weeks I'm free. I do not have to act. I can be myself. So I'm going to run away to Italy.
Italy?
At 5:30 tomorrow afternoon, I leave on the express to Florence. I'll buy a new automobile, Antonio. I'm going to fly to Rome.
Why move so fast?
Oh, this is not moving fast, Paul. This is just starting speed.
And from whom did you get this enormous starting speed?
For myself. For my youth. Oh, Paul, do you know how wonderful it is to be young?
I knew once, but I've forgotten.
That's too bad. You should do as I do. When something wonderful has happened to me, I write myself a postcard. It's lovely to read it afterwards.
It must be.
From Italy, I should send myself beautiful picture postcards. They'll say, "Darling, a young man is staring at me. I think I must be very pretty this morning. Warmest greetings from your best friend, Lily Sandor."
Charming, but I'll never risk your going alone in this mood. I shall be on the train, Lily.
Very well, if you wish.
Thank you. Then at 5:30.
5:30. Good night, Paul.
Good night, Lily. Pleasant dreams.
Oh.
Forgive me, darling. Did I frighten you?
How did you get in again?
Oh, I wasn't even gone.
Really? The things you do are positively fantastic.
Well, you see, there's so many doors in your hall. I opened one at random, and I had the most amazing luck.
Where did you get to?
Into a closet, and there I stood.
Alone?
Oh, no, no. There was a vacuum cleaner there.
Really, George? It's nearly midnight. When are you going away?
I didn't come to go away. I am the perpetual lover who arrives 1,000 times but doesn't go away once.
George, you're impossible. Must I have you thrown out?
You can't throw me out. I'm here, and whatever happens, I remain.
Well, I can move out. I'm going away tomorrow anyway.
Going away? Where?
To Italy. The Fiume Express leaves at 5:30.
Oh, you're running away. Going to a place where I can't follow you.
Not necessarily. There are plenty of trains.
Well, darling, I hardly know how to explain it. I blush for having to speak to you about such things. And still I say it with a little pride. I say it a bit haughtily, in fact. Lily, I have no money.
You mean, you're poor?
Yes, poor. Because I have a tuxedo. And because I once bought a ticket to the theater.
But I don't understand. All these weeks, wherever I've been, you were there.
Oh, that's easy to explain. I'm that well-dressed young man who nonchalantly enters the most expensive places, but orders only a cup of coffee.
And I never guessed.
No, I deceived you. But I did go to ruin in the process. You see, I have enough money to pursue you in a taxi, but not enough to go to Italy. I have enough money to buy a theater ticket, but not enough to love the actress.
How charming you are. And how honest. Come here, into the other room.
Yes, Lily.
I want to show you something. Do you see these slippers?
Yes.
5 years ago, I came to Budapest in these slippers. I've kept them. They represent my poverty.
You were poor?
Poorer than you. There I stood in the railroad terminal, in an only dress, without luggage.
Oh, darling, how beautiful this is.
These slippers started off. They carried a girl through the big city, and now I'm here. We have much in common, because I was poor, too.
Two poor people.
Oh, Georgie.
What are you thinking of?
How lovely it would have been if we had met then, when I arrived.
Oh, don't think of it. Why, it could hardly be any more beautiful than now, with life waiting for us, because now I am never going to let you go, darling.
Wait, Georgie. Don't kiss me yet. Stay here. Just a minute. I'll be right back.
Lily! Lily, what are you doing?
Carolyn.
What is it, Lily?
Pack a small bag. I'm going to a hotel. That young man is locked in my room. Don't let him out until morning.
But when are you coming home?
I'm not coming home. Pack everything. Meet me at the station tomorrow at 5:30. Lily Sando is making an exit before she does something gorgeously silly.
Ah, so it's you, Verratti. Are you waiting for Lily?
I am waiting for Lily, Mr. Strauss.
Well, don't waste your time. I'll give her your greetings.
No, indeed. I know you're going with her, but I should at least stay to say goodbye.
I'm not a fool, young man. I know that you're more than just an old friend, but I warn you, I'm stronger than you.
No, you're wrong. You're just a pocket that's fuller than mine.
Hello, Paul. I thought I'd never get here.
It's late, Lily. We'd better get aboard.
Lily, please.
Georgie, so you're here. That's very sweet of you.
There's really no need of sentimental parting. She'll be back in 6 weeks. Come, Lily.
Lily, you won't deny me just a chance to say goodbye.
Of course not. Paul, go on ahead, please.
But Lily...
Go on, Paul, and tell Carolyn to call me at the last minute. Go along.
Oh, very well. I'll be waiting.
A pleasant journey, Mr. Strauss.
Well, here I am. I'm saying goodbye. Farewell, Georgie.
Lily, you locked me in your room last night.
It was the only way I could escape from you.
Oh, so you...
But I've got to go. Goodbye.
Darling, this is impossible. If you choose to marry Paul Strauss, then one should not be young. One should not fight. One should not believe in love.
Georgie, please.
Lily, you must come at once. The train will go.
Go away, Carolyn. I want to say goodbye to him.
It's 5:25. In the name of youth that wants to live, work, and love, don't leave me, Lily.
I'll be there in just a minute.
5:26, and now suddenly my throat begins to choke. Life has but 4 minutes, and I can say nothing.
My poor friend.
Lily, please, Paul is waiting.
Oh, tell him to wait.
5:27. You can't go away, darling, because my love keeps you here. You can't go away, darling, because you have a heart and you belong to me. It's 5:28. You can't go away, darling, because we must watch the clouds together and walk on sunny mountain slopes and dance to sweet music. It's 5:29. You can't go away, darling, because I'll die if you leave me. Because the world may fall, everything may crumble, but I won't let you go. You can't go away, darling, because I'm holding you in my arms. 5:30.
Take your seats, please.
5:30. You can't go away, darling, because I'm kissing you.
Take your seats, please. Fiume Express, all aboard.
Georgie, the train. The train is... It's going.
It's too late. It's gone.
You made me miss the train with your kiss.
Oh, darling, what better way is there to miss the train?
My luggage is on board and Caroline with all my money and jewels.
Do you regret them?
How queer. 5 years ago, I stood right here without luggage. Just one dress to my back and one pair of slippers.
Oh, darling.
Lily Sandow has arrived again for the second time. The train is taking the actress and Paul and everything that does not belong to me. Only a poor girl remains here at the Eastern Terminal.
Oh, we have so much in common. I am poor, too.
Two poor people. Wait. Here's a picture postcard in my handbag. Have you a pencil?
Yeah, here's one, darling. To whom are you writing?
Just listen. To Lily Sandor, actress, Budapest. Dear Lily, this vacation I'm spending in Budapest with my fiancé. He's a charming boy. An engineer. I love him. And I'm very happy.
Oh, darling. Thanks, Marlene Dietrich, for a charming Viennese interlude. And I think I'll take a tip from Lady Sander and write myself a postcard. Here goes. Dear Don, the Chase in Sanborn now with Marlene Dietrich, Edgar Bergen and Charlie McCarthy, Dorothy Lavoie, John Carter, the Stroud twins, and Robert Armbruster continues in just a moment. This is Don Ameche in the Chase in Sanborn Hour. And the melody you're listening to is from the new Bing Crosby picture, Dr. Rhythm. It's called My Heart is Taking Lessons. And Dorothy L'Amour sings it for us.
My heart is taking lessons, learning how to sing. Every morning, la, 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 poor thing. My heart is taking lessons conscientiously. Every moment, la, 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 it amazes me. And oh, how hard it labors to try and make the grade. It may annoy the neighbors practicing up on a serenade. My heart is taking lessons, and I notice too. It began to la, 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 la when I looked at you. Taking lessons, learning how to sing. Every morning you hear me la 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 by Mir Bistou Shane. My heart is taking lessons conscientiously. Every moment la 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 la, it amazes me. And oh, how hard it labors to try and make the grade. It may annoy the neighbors practicing up on a serenade. My heart is taking lessons, and I noticed too. It began to la 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 when I looked at you.
Clarence Stroud, you old killer diller, how's the world been treating you?
Please, Don, I realize the kindness of your intention, but I prefer not to be reminded of my ill-advised attempt to become a slangster. It was a grievous mistake. Nothing could be less becoming to my personality.
What about a derby hat?
Your remark is obscure, Claude, and has no place in a discussion of my personality. Furthermore, who said I had a derby hat?
Who said you had a personality?
Oh, honestly, Clarence, I think you're wasting your time on Claude. You're entirely too unselfish. Your whole life has been devoted to him. You flutter around him like an old hen with one chick.
He does cackle a lot.
Why don't you live your own life, Clarence? Forget about Claude for a while and do something for yourself.
Well, what would you suggest?
Well, I got it. You've got a swell command of language and you're full of information on all subjects. Why don't you write a book?
Well, it's odd that you should have hit upon that idea, Don, for it is precisely what I have been doing.
Oh, so you've turned author. Well, that's swell. What's the book about? Is it a novel?
No, it isn't, Don. My book will be an inquiry into the evolutionary hypothesis of the concatenation of terrestrial phenomena as applied to certain phases of subliminal metaphysics.
That's clear. The Rover Boys.
That sounds like powerful stuff, Clarence. What's the title of the book?
I have entitled it The Stroud Bicameral Theory of Dual Personality Metaphysics as Interpreted Through Abstract Evolution.
I've got a better title for you.
Is that so? What is it?
Bunk.
You betray a sad lack of comprehension, Claude. Though you may scoff at my literary endeavors, I am happy to report that my publishers expect to dispose of 1 million copies.
Well, the Atlantic's a big ocean.
The Atlantic does not enter into this matter.
Well, the Pacific's no mud puddle.
I am assured by my publishers that my book will lift me from the ranks of the unknowns to the Valhalla of the immortals.
So will a rope around your neck.
Look, Clarence, how long did you play around with the idea before you got this way?
For years, Don, the idea has lain dormant in my mind, quiet as an untroubled pool. But now the dam has burst and it must come pouring forth.
Yeah, he's a gusher.
He's got water on the brain.
Laugh if you will, but my book will bring me fame that is neither ephemeral nor transient. Do you realize where this book may put me?
In an asylum?
Don, I regret that your enthusiasm has waned. I thought that you were sincerely interested.
We're just kidding, Clarence. How about giving us a little preview of the book?
Gladly, Don. The Stroud postulate defies inept circumlocution. Metaphysical metabolism, developed abstractly, requires geometrical precision and basic ratiocination.
Oh, Clarence, please quit talking like a bunch of Chinese firecrackers. What's this all about in English?
Well, Don, during the assembling of the material for my book, the theory of evolution was one of the many subjects on which I cogitated.
Whatgitated?
Cogitated. I have delved into ancient volumes, but not content with library research, I have actually gone into the field of evolution. Last week, I even spent 4 days in a cage full of monkeys.
Didn't they complain?
You forget that according to the Darwin theory, I descended from monkeys.
Do they admit it?
I choose to ignore your irrelevant comments. My experiments disprove Darwin's theory. I refute it completely. I will demonstrate that man descended from birds, birds of all types. For instance, a human being is as nervous as a chicken, as wise as an owl, as proud as a peacock.
You're as silly as a goose.
Never mind, Clarence. Go ahead. We want you to be happy.
Well, I am happy.
He's happy about the whole theory. Yeah.
According to my theory, the physical body does not exist. There is no space, there is no time, there is no distance. We only think that we are here, but actually we are not. I can easily prove that I am not in this room.
Name your price.
That's unimportant. The fact remains that you are an optical illusion, a fantasy of the mind. You think you are present, but actually you are not here. Don, do you grasp the importance of my theory?
I'm not here.
That is true, Don. However, the honest scientist never bases his conclusions on one experiment.
Well, why don't you try it out on John Carter? He's still here. Hey, John.
Yes, Don.
I don't want to impose on you, John, but we've got a deep thinker in our midst. Clarence is writing a book.
Oh, that's fine, Clarence. I've been told you're very clever.
You'll catch on.
Tell Johnny something about the book, Clarence, and let him judge for himself.
Well, in my major premise, I maintain that we have no living reality, or, to put it more succinctly, we are not here.
That's sort of confusing, isn't it?
You're catching on.
The idea is metaphysical, but fundamentally accurate. We are all thought projections. We exist only in the universal mind.
I'm sorry, Clarence, but that just doesn't make sense.
You've caught on.
Clarence, you've had us all guessing since this thing started. Isn't it about time you cleared it up?
Certainly, Don. In simple words, we are corporeal manifestations of etheric pseudoplasms.
Well, you certainly cleared that up in a hurry.
You understood what I meant, didn't you, Johnny?
I'm not here.
Vance, I give you one more chance to prove your theory. Marlena, this double portion is the Stroud twins.
How do you do? Which is the intelligent one?
Neither. Claude is the reserved one, and Clarence is the one with the 16-cylinder tonsils.
Clarence is the one I mean. Clarence, please accept me as your ally. I cannot bear to see a great mind so tragically misunderstood.
Thank you very much, Miss Dietrich. Your appreciation is heartening. Isn't she wonderful, Claude?
Yeah. Who is she?
Claude, your failure to recognize this lady is inconceivable. She is Marlena Dietrich.
Julina Wadrick?
Marlena Dietrich, one of our most renowned film actresses. Have you no cognizance of the cinematic industry?
Hmm?
Don't you know anything about the screen?
Keeps the flies out.
Your brother is somewhat obtuse, Clarence. But I feel that I, of all people, do understand your theory. You are the product of thought. You're all things, and all things are you. You're bread, you're meat, you're vegetables.
He's a blue plate dinner.
Finally, Miss Dietrich, in you, I have found someone who really comprehends my theory of metaphysical evolution. Shall we discuss it further?
I'm not here.
She caught on, too. She's not here. Johnny's not here. I'm not here. How about you, Claude?
I'm gone.
Well, at last, I am alone with the perfect audience, myself. My theory is practical. It works. Why, this is incredible. I'm not here either.
Well, despite Clarence's theory, I can assure you we're all still here. One of the old operatic favorites, which has been missing from the boards for many years, is the opera Martha. In that opera is one of the most beautiful and best-loved of tenor arias. John Carter revives it for us now. Ma Pari, from the opera Martha.
Oh, la pace,
most important news flash for all of Charlie McCarthy's friends throughout the United States and Canada.
By a special new arrangement, you now have until the end of this month to get as a gift a wonderful big action likeness of Charlie McCarthy. And what a marvelous present he is. Charlie's made of strong cardboard, printed to show him in his top hat, white tie and tails, monocle and mammoth shirt stud. The artist has shown his sandy red hair, his shiny silk hat, and his brown eyes sparkling with mischief. Charlie's over 20 inches tall, made of strong cardboard. You can set him on your knee, move his mouth, roll his eyes, and pretend to make him talk. And here's how you get Charlie free. On or before February 28th, mail us four bag fronts showing the date from 4 1-pound bags of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Remember, dated coffee is guaranteed fresh by our unique dating and rapid delivery system. Right after roasting, it's rushed to your grocer with a date of delivery plainly marked on the money-saving dated bag. This date assures you of real freshness, protects you from the stale coffee with its harsh, rancid taste and the dangerous effects it may have on your nerves and system. So get Chase and Sanborn dated coffee. Mail us four bag fronts by February 28th, and we'll send you free the big laughable likeness of Charlie McCarthy. Take down our address, Chase and Sanborn, 420 Lexington Avenue. That's 420 Lexington Avenue, New York City. Start getting Charlie now. Buy a pound of Chase and Sanborn dated coffee from your grocer tomorrow.
Ah, she is a sweet trick, a lovely and neat trick. Of course, I refer to my pal, Marlene Dietrich.
That's a very lovely poem, Charlie.
Oh, you like it? Shall I do it again? Ah, she is a
never
sweet
mind,
trick.
Charlie.
My pal, Marlene Dietrich.
Yes, nice, isn't it?
Yes, you certainly have your nerve with you, young man.
Yeah.
And besides, the name is not Marlene.
Do tell.
It's Marlena.
Oh, come.
Yes.
Marlena?
Yes.
Oh, Marlena, I see what you mean. You should tell me about Marlena Dietrich. Oh, silly boy.
Just when did you meet Miss Dietrich?
Oh, I remember it was 2 years ago in London, when we first met, yes. London in the spring. Marlena.
Yeah, Charlie, I don't believe you've ever met Miss Dietrich.
You don't believe me, huh?
No.
Well, if I'm lying, may someone stick a knife in my back.
There's no one back here.
I could have sworn I saw somebody.
No.
Yes, I know Miss Dietrich.
You do?
Yes, I do, so help me.
Yes, well, would you say she's good company, Charlie?
Oh, the best, my dear fellow. I mean, she's a real sport, if you know.
Yes.
Oh, I've met lots of interesting people, but Marlene.
Marlena.
Marlena.
Yes?
Huh?
Did you call me?
No, I was telling Mr. Bergen about Marlena Dietrich. Have you met her?
Charlie. No, this is Miss Dietrich. Oh,
how silly of me. Good evening, Miss Dietrich.
He was telling you what fun you had, you know, in London there this fall, was it?
Who was telling you?
Charlie McCarthy, you know, your friend, Charlie.
My friend? Isn't there some mistake?
Yes, I guess there is. I met her.
Now, just a moment, Charlie. You don't mean to tell me that you don't know Miss Dietrich?
Oh, yes, I do. I know her. I met her in London.
Just where did we meet in London, if you don't mind?
The Grosvenor House,
Shall we say it correctly and call it the Grosvenor House?
Well, I didn't stay there long enough to learn to pronounce it correctly.
I remember the Grosvenor House, but I don't recall you.
It was in October.
Just when were you in London?
I would say around that time, in the fall, I remember. I was over for the autumnal shooting.
Did they get you?
Come, Miss Dietrich, don't be vicious.
Facetious, yes.
But really, Charlie, I don't remember meeting you in London. What day was it?
Oh, let's say Thursday, huh?
No, I'm sorry. I'm never in London on Thursday.
Will you settle for Friday?
Friday? No, that's impossible. No. How about Monday?
I can't make it Monday. I take my piano lessons Monday.
Then we can never meet in London.
That's London.
Yes, the fogs are so thick.
Yes.
One misses so many people. I must have missed you there.
Charlie, then you never met Miss Dietrich in London.
Well, I guess not. Could it have been Switzerland? Are you ever in Switzerland on Thursday, Miss Dietrich?
I think I can make it.
Oh, that's fine. Splendid. Then it was Switzerland. Ah, 3 years ago in Switzerland, at Lausanne. Or was it Lucerne? Or was it 2 years ago? Or have I been in Switzerland? For that matter, where are we?
Wherever you are, I'm not with you.
Oh, Miss Dietrich, how can you deny it? Of course it was Switzerland. Was it Lucerne or was it Lausanne?
Poppycock.
Oh, that's where it was. Poppycock. No, you can't. Charlie, I think you've carried this nonsense quite far enough.
Yes.
Yes. It's quite clear that you never saw Miss Dietrich before.
Oh, I did see her before. So help me, I did.
You did?
Yeah.
Where?
I guess it was in a picture. I don't know. Yeah, that's where it was, yes. Yes, I saw you in a picture, and I thought you were wonderful. I liked you scads.
Oh, thank you, Charlie. What picture do you see me in?
Golden Follies. You were swell.
But, Charlie, I'm not in the Golden Follies.
No, but I am. You must see me. I do a bit there. It's not... Pardon me if I seem to be braggadocio.
Yeah. Charlie, this is a bit embarrassing, and I want to apologize for Charlie's action, Miss Dietrich.
Oh, that's all right. But will you call me Marlena, Mr. Bergen?
Oh, thank you. And will you call me Edgar?
And will you call me when this stuff is over?
Marlena.
Edgar.
Marlena, forgive me if I seem to stare, but it's your eyes. Your eyes reflect the sun like an iridescent pool.
Oh, Edgar, how lovely. Charlie, why don't you say nice things like that?
All right, I will. Your eyes, oh, they reflect your eyes. They reflect like the sun on a pool table.
No,
no, no.
It's an insult, a pool table.
What's the difference? I'm behind the eight ball anyhow.
Marlena, I'm afraid this is neither the time nor the place to continue our conversation. Might I suggest the casino tonight?
Yes, I think I can do it.
Who's talking to you?
Nobody, that's the trouble.
But, Charlie, dear, it'll be much too late in the evening for a little boy like you to be out. How old are you, Charlie?
Oh, I'm exactly 3. Gaga, boo-boo.
Marlene, I'll call for you at 9. Will that be all right?
I'll be expecting you.
I'll be expecting you,
oh, well,
Edgar.
I'll fix that then. Oh, what? Oh, I'm going to have one of my spells. Oh,
why, what's the matter, Charlie?
I know I'm having one of my spells again. Oh.
Edgar, he seems to be in pain. Perhaps we shouldn't go out. Oh. What's wrong with you, Charlie?
Oh, I'm just sick, that's all. It's nothing, just sick. I'm used to suffering. I've suffered so long, I don't mind at all. Just the pain I can't stand. Oh.
Should I get a doctor?
No, no. Just hold my hand, Marlena. Oh. I see spots in front of my eyes. Oh.
There, there, Charlie. I'll hold your hand. Do you still see spots?
Yes, but I can see them much better now, Marlena. Will you stay close to me this evening? You will, won't you?
Yes, Charlie, oh, dear.
Oh, you won't go out with Bergen, will you, Marlena?
Of course not, Charlie, dear.
Oh, Marlena, you're like an angel with unclipped wings. Your voice is like the rippling waterfall.
My sweet.
Me?
Yes.
Uh-oh.
Now, just a moment. What is this?
Bergen, please don't talk while I'm interrupting. Oh, as you were saying, Marlena.
You're not suffering anymore, are you, Charlie, dear?
No, but Bergen is. Look at him.
Well, Charlie certainly had a good idea there, and what's more, it seemed to work. As for Edgar, well, maybe my song can offer him a bit of consolation. It's called I Can Dream, can't I? I can see, no matter how near you'll be, you'll never belong to me. But I can dream, can't I? Can't I pretend that I'm locked in the bend of your embrace? For dreams are just like wine, and I am drunk with mine. I'm aware my heart is a sad affair. There's much disillusion there, but I can dream, can't I?
can't I adore you, although we are oceans apart? I can't make you open your heart, but I can dream, can't I? I'm locked in the bend of your embrace. For dreams are just like wine, and I am drunk with mine. I'm aware my heart is a sad affair. There's much disillusion there, but I can dream, can't I? Can't I adore you, although we are oceans apart? I can't make you open your heart, but I can dream, can't I?
Even the best of friends must part, so we must say farewell until next week, when we'll all be back with Miss Barbara Stanwyck as our special guest. And don't forget, this hour is made possible by your purchases of Chase and Sanborn coffee. That's the best way of telling us you enjoy our show. We'll be looking for all of you next Sunday, and until then, this is yours sincerely, Don Amici, saying au revoir.
Heard on this program was Stiff Upper Lip from Damsel in Distress, I Can Dream from Right You Are, and The Big Show from Head Over Heels. This is Wendell Niles speaking for the makers of Chase and Sanborn Coffee, and this is the Red Network of the National Broadcasting Company.